5 score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
I open my mouth to the Lord, and I won't turn back. I will go, I shall go, to see what the end's gonna be.
Well, who said yonder dress in red?
This nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I shall go, we will go, I shall go, to see what the end's gonna be,
the morning,
to see what the end's gonna be,
in the evening,
to see what the end's gonna be,
night hour.
And so just imagine with me, if you will, that it's August 28th, 1963. And you are one of 250,000 people gathered together on the concourse in front of that Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. And yeah, it's an awesome and inspiring sight. Can you imagine, you know, having been there? How, was anybody there? And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had just finished his speech. You know, and there's a moment of silence. And then you heard the ecstatic accord of everyone shouting in accord with his words. And there's a brief moment when it seems like oneness and unity is complete. And a moment, a brief moment where where the kingdom of heaven has come on earth. What you just saw was a brief excerpt of his speech that he gave, that Dr. Martin Luther King gave at the Civil Rights March on Washington in 1963. Coretta King says in her book about his life, abandoning his speech. Now, he's off his written speech. Forgetting time, he spoke from his heart, his voice soaring magnificently out over the great crowd and over to all the world. And it seemed like all of us there that day, that his words flowed from some higher place through Martin to the weary people before him. Yea, heaven itself opened up and we all seemed transformed. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King was a black leader, but I think more importantly, he was a leader for all people. And the killers of the dream could end his mortal existence with a single bullet. But I don't believe that all the bullets and all of the arsenals of the world could ever affect his death. He stood for peace, equality, and nonviolence. He's my hero. What he lived for and what he died was willing to die for so that there could be peace and freedom in this world. And during his speech that he gave, or his sermon, Christmas sermon, in 1967. He said, when we truly believe in the sacredness of human life, we won't exploit people. We won't trample over people with the iron feet of oppression. We won't kill anymore. And in December of 1964, upon receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, Martin Luther King said, man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. It's love. And he goes on to say, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. Unarmed truth and unconditional love. Martin Luther King had his eyes on the prize. You know, he was committed to the activity of God's love, which is the truth of who we are and everyone, who everyone is. You know, regardless of our religion, our race, our color, our nationality, where we live. So are you willing to keep your eyes on the prize? Are you willing to make that commitment to be the activity of God's love, the truth of who you are? I had the honor and privilege of traveling to the Soviet Union in December of 1986 as part of a peace delegation. And you've heard me talk about it through the holiday season, that we were there specifically to pray with Russian people for the World Instant of Cooperation, that December 31st, 1986 prayer, that first prayer that happened. And in that first prayer that happened for the World Instant of Cooperation, there were over 500 million people joined together in over 70 countries that spanned all the continents. And for 1 hour, we held the vision of this planet united in peace. Now, during the meditation that I was at in the Soviet Union, I remember kind of opening my eyes and peeking at one point and looking around, and it hit me. I am in a kiosk in Gorky Park, Moscow, praying for world peace with Russian people. You know, it was an awesome realization. You know, it hit me, you know, intellectually, you know, my heart and my mind was wrestling with each other. Because intellectually, I knew that I should hate and fear these people. That's how I was brought up. Isn't that the way you were brought up? Isn't that what you were taught? We were taught that. The Russians are bad. They're hateful. They're going to kill us. You know? And so I went there because I knew differently. And at that moment, my heart was just loving these people so much. I'm looking around. I couldn't tell who was Russian and who was American. We all looked the same. And so in that moment, I realized deep down inside of me, all people are the same everywhere in the world. We're all one. We're all one. You know, and they feel the same way we feel. They love the same way we love. They love their children and want the highest and best for their children, just like we love our children and want the highest and best for them. So why was I taught to hate and to fear them? You know, I think sometimes the mind is afraid of the heart's love. And in that moment, my life was changed. My heart was flung wide open to love. My mind was open to a whole new realm of possibilities. And I knew in that moment that people everywhere, in the minds and hearts of every single person on this planet, there is peace and love. Peace and love abide. And deep down within each one of us, we yearn and desire to speak the truth to ourselves and to each other. And then to go out and live the truth that we know. That is an ingrained desire and yearning deep within our soul. And to me, that's the prize. You know, being committed to the activity of God's love, which is the truth of who we are. And then going out and taking God's love and expressing it in everything, in every situation, in everything we say, and in everything that we do. You know, keep your eyes on the prize. Because if we're shutting our heart down, then we we're starving to death. And so we need to open our hearts and we need to just know that in the minds and hearts of everyone is love and peace. Jesus said, love one another. Right? Didn't you? Simple. Love one another as I have loved you. What a simple teaching. But how difficult that is to carry through. Love one another as I have loved you. And we can't love one another until we have found love within our own heart. And until we have found the realization that we're one with God. Then love flows. In the first letter of John, we read, God is love. Again, very simple teaching. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. And so keep your eyes on the prize. You know, and I encourage you to be what you want your world to be. You know, and when I was in the Soviet Union, I made a commitment to be peace, no matter what was going on around me. Now, I'm not 100% there yet, but I've made the commitment to that's what I strive for, to be peace no matter what's happening in the world around me. I mean, all this stuff that's happening in the world out there, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. What matters is what's happening inside of you. That's what really matters, and how quickly we forget that, how easy it is to forget that. But I think the Course in Miracles says it so beautifully. This is lesson 34, which is one of my favorite lessons in the Course. It states, I could see peace instead of this. Again, very simple teaching, a little bit more difficult to carry through. I could see peace instead of this. It goes on to say, when I see the world as a place of freedom, I realize that it reflects the laws of God instead of the rules I made up for it to obey. I will understand that peace, not war, abides in it. And I will perceive that peace also abides in the hearts of all who share this place with me. I could see peace in this situation instead of what I now see. I could see peace. It's a choice. We can choose to see peace instead of what we see at any time we choose to. Now, there was a time when we spoke the truth to each other and to ourselves. And I invite us all to make that commitment to go back to that time, to choose love instead of fear, to choose peace instead of anger. And to help us do this, my book of the month is a great book to pick up if you want to start working on this. It's called Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. It's by Marshall Rosenberg. And this is used in organizations, in countries. He goes out and does mediation for countries. And, I mean, he's an amazing person. And he has spoken at Unity conferences many times. In fact, the Unity movement has adopted nonviolent communication as its communication style. And I like to call it compassionate. And I think Marshall has even said he, now looking back, he wishes he would have called it compassionate communication. But the nonviolence is along the lines of Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it will change your life. It will change your relationships. I don't think we realize how violent our thoughts and our words are. The kidding, the little digs that we let roll off lightly off our tongue, which are not so lightly, because a lot of times when you just kind of off the cuff make a comment, it's a very hurtful and negative and painful comment for another person. This book helps you get in touch with your feelings, not your attitudes or beliefs. Big difference. I have earmarked here about these are, one page is, you know, what you feel when your needs are met. The other is what you feel, your feelings, not what you think of the other person, but getting in touch with how do you really feel. And so I invite you to pick up a copy. And Judy Willingham, our licensed Unity teacher, she will be teaching Introduction to Nonviolent Communication. She's been studying it for years. And she will be teaching two Wednesdays in February 1st and 8th. It's in your bulletin. You might want to mark that down. I encourage you, because I would love for us to see this is the way we communicate with each other, in nonviolent ways. And even if you don't think you're violent, you probably have a little bit in there of some words that you don't even realize that could be changed. Gandhi once said, "Be what you want your world to be. Be what you want your world to be." He goes on to say, "Unless we change, become the change we wish to see in the world, no change will ever take place." So, unfortunately, what we do is we wait for the other person to change, right? We want them to change. But we have to be the change first. You have to make that commitment to be what you want your world to be. Not just talk about it and not just hope for it, but you need to take action and be it. You know, just take a moment and think about if someone does something that upsets you or angers you, what's your first reaction? Do you say things like, "I didn't have anything to do with it. Not my fault. You know, they did it. It's all because of her. You know, if only he'd change, well, then I'd be happy. Yada, 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 yada." You can fill in your favorite expression. But if we're really being honest with ourselves and we look to ourselves first rather than the other person, then we're on the right track, or at least a step closer. You know, when we're willing to look at ourselves first. Jesus said, and I love this, he had a great sense of humor. Jesus said, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Aren't we good at that? We're good at pointing out the faults in everybody else, the little speck in their eye. But meanwhile, we've got this huge log in our own. I think we have enough work to do just taking care of our own business, let alone having to try to fix everyone else. Gandhi said, "The pure, unadulterated love of one person can nullify the hatred of millions." Isn't that awesome? The pure, unadulterated love of one person can nullify the hatred of millions. So keep your eyes on the prize. Be committed to the activity of God's love, which is the truth of who you are. It's a wonderful story of a great rabbi who was instructing three of his students. And the question the rabbi asked is, "Where is God? Where does God live?" And the first answered, "In heaven." "Everywhere," answered the second. "In the heart of man," ventured the third. The rabbi was silent. Three students then asked again, "Will you tell us where God lives?" And the rabbi simply answered, "God lives wherever man invites him in." And then he continued, "For every man, God lives where God's presence is acknowledged and realized. The receptive mind will find the loving presence of God everywhere. The closed mind will find God nowhere." And so peace comes from the heart. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I have a dream. I have a dream." Phil and I once went to Epcot Center in Florida and walked into one of my favorite exhibits, the Imagination Pavilion. And in big letters across the wall was, "Whatever you can dream, you can achieve." I love that. Whatever you can dream, you can achieve. I have a dream. You know, we all have a dream, and we all have the same dream of living in this world in love and peace at one with each other. You know, because we are all human soul on the same path, going in the same direction, needing the same love and compassion to be and to express our highest and our best self. Dr. Martin Luther King, in his Christmas sermon in 1967, he said, "No individual can live alone. No nation can live alone. And as long as we try, the more we're going to have war in this world." And he goes on to say, "We must either learn to live together as brothers and sisters, or we are going to perish as fools." So make that commitment to the activity of God's love, which is the truth of who you are. And look at the people who did that. You know, the people we admire and look up to. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, Peace Pilgrim, Mother Teresa, Buddha, and our beloved Jesus Christ. You know, their memories live in our hearts and their actions live in our world, and we can't forget what they believed in, and we certainly can't forget what they died for. And so I invite you, just close your eyes for a moment and just ask yourself, what is it that I'm holding today in my heart that I'm afraid to let go of? Now, what is it? What is it that you're holding in your heart today that you are afraid to let go of? To what are you bound? You know, is there a fear? Is there a resentment? Maybe an anger that you're holding on to? An old attitude? An old belief that is no longer for your highest good? You know, is it someone that you've blamed for something happening in your life? Now, what is it? And how long have you held it? How long have you carried it? And are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to put it down? Are you willing to no longer have it be an issue between you and another person? Are you willing to give it to God? I just invite you right now to give it up, to let it go, to let it go. And to take it in your time in prayer and meditation and surrender to God's love. Just let it, whatever it is you're holding, turn it over to God. Let it go, surrender to God's love, and you will find freedom, and you will find peace. And so I invite you to take a deep breath and just gently open your eyes. And let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with who? Me. Let there be love on earth, and let it begin with who? Me. It begins with you and me. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't wait for somebody else to change. Be the change that you want to see in the world. So keep your eyes on the prize. Be committed to the activity of God's love, which is the truth of who you are. You know, and open your heart. And as you express God's love in everything you say and in everything you do, that at one point in your life, soon, you will be able to shout at the top of your voice, "Free at last! Free at last! Great God Almighty, I am free! Free at last!" So God bless you, and happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.